All hail King Jesus. Amen. Emmanuel, God with us. I got it. I might look wimpy, but I got this one. All these big guys think that, you know, I'm so thankful to have a great team of people at this church who truly make serving such a joy. Amen. Amen. Wow, what a presentation, right? How do you follow that? Well, the greatest thing is just open the Word, right? And, you know, what a demonstration of the story of His resurrection and to think of all the elements that go along with that story. You know, we could look at John 20 and we could see Mary and how she responded to the empty tomb, and she was weeping and she looked at Christ and thought that He was the gardener and said, "Where have you laid Him?" You know, we can look at that story. We can look at how Peter ran to the tomb and was there looking for the Savior, or how the angel showed up and said, "He is not here, but He has risen as He said." We can talk about the Emmaus walk and look at how Jesus manifested Himself to those who were walking to Emmaus and told the story. And here they were, they declared, "And we were hoping." And I believe that so many times today, people are hoping. They're looking. What a great message this morning at our sunrise service. I got conflicting people. I don't know if somebody was counting with their fingers and toes or just fingers. But someone said we had 70. Another person said we had 80. But it was a great group of people who come out this morning. And what a powerful message this morning of looking to Jesus. And there's a whole lot of people who are looking for something, looking for a way to find peace in their life, to find hope in their life. And I'm so thankful that the Word of God has given us true peace, given us a hope of glory. When I think of the resurrection, I think of what Jesus accomplished on the cross of Calvary and His resurrection. And I'm going to be reading out of Romans chapter 5 this morning. If you want to turn with me or open your Bible app and look with me on there as well. We're in a new generation, right? You got to meet all those, check all those boxes. And I'm being one of those same people. I would be carrying my phone with the Bible app on it too. I want to read verses 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 5, and then jump to verse 11. It says, verse 1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. "Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Verse 11 on down says, "And not only that, but we also rejoice in God, who through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received atonement." King James Version says atonement, right? And I know that sounds like a theological word, and we don't always grasp the understanding of the atonement. But for a few moments, I want to just share on what it means to be atoned for. Now, I want to preface that with this. We have been sold a lie from the enemy. The enemy has tried to declare that if you live a decent moral life, that you can go to heaven. And it's amazing to me as a pastor talking to people and to hear people say of different ones, well, they're in a better place. And the reality is that if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when this world passes away, when we die, yes, we have the hope of glory. We know that we are in a better place, right? We know that we will make heaven our home. But if we don't know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, it doesn't mean that all dogs go to heaven. You can live a good For those Disney fans, I apologize. I didn't mean to use that reference. Not everyone who just seems good goes to heaven. You have to know Jesus Christ. You have to know Him as your personal Savior. I mean, I didn't make the rules. It's the Word of God. It's the truth of what God says. But the great news is that God has made a way for every single person to know Him. He's made a way so that every single one can know who He is and what He's done for them. And when we believe in Him and walk in His truth, we recognize that we have eternal hope in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. So in other words, we want to talk just a few moments of the redemptive work of Christ Jesus, the redeeming work of Christ Jesus, and this word atonement. Now, when I look at this word, I'm going to be talking about the meaning of atonement, the cause of atonement, the way of atonement, and the blessings of the meaning. Now, there was one guy talking about a missionary who went to Africa, and in his going to Africa, he was there and he was sharing about different things. One of the locals said, "How do you know what's in a can?" And the guy brought the can and he said, "Well, you look at the picture on the can and that lets you know what's on the inside of the can." And so that seems sufficient for the national to understand, okay, so what's on the can is in the can, right? A few days later, the national began to avoid the missionary. And he's like, "Something's wrong." And he would catch him talking to another group of nationals, and when he would come up, they would disperse. And he's like, "Something's not right." So he went and met with this person and said, "Hey, what's wrong? Why are you avoiding me?" He said, "Missionaries eat babies." He goes, "What would give you that thought? Why would you think such a horrible thing of us?" Well, the national took him to the pantry. And in the pantry, there was some baby food. And on the front of the bottle was the Gerber baby, right? He said, "What's on the outside is on the inside. Missionaries eat babies." I said, "No, no, no." So I say that to say that it's difficult sometimes to express what we really mean, right? It's sometimes hard for us to really get truth out there because it can be misunderstood or it can be taken in a different way. And that's what I don't want to happen this morning. I want to be clear about the truth of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. Amen. I want us to clearly understand the greatest sacrifice and the greatest gift of love that Jesus Christ has given to each and every one of us, and that is through giving of Himself. Amen. And so when you look at this word, atonement, it really defines making amends for a wrong or for an injury. The word atonement is simply a compound word meaning at one. In other words, at one ment. In other words, Jesus Christ has made a way for us to be at one with the Father. Reconciled. Another word is used as reconciled. Matter of fact, if you were using the New King James Version or any other version, that word would come up as reconciled or reconciliation. Even in the King James Version, when you look at that same word throughout the Scripture, it is reconciliation. The Lord Jesus Christ has made a way for us to be reconciled with the Father. Isn't that amazing? Now, you have to think and understand, well, why do we need reconciliation? Well, God had a standard that He set at creation, right? He set a standard for all of us. And the standard is really His glory. God is a God of glory and honor and majesty. He is almighty, right? And so the standard is amazing. Come here, Mr. Michael. I didn't know if I should use Michael or Seth. I mean, these guys are like giants in the church, right? And Michael's visiting, and he's still willing to be a good volunteer. So if Michael is the standard, right, I will never be able to reach the standard. So the reality is that man could never reach the standard that God had set. We will never be able to have the glory that God has. Thank you, Mike. So what happened was is that man failed to reach the standard, but God knew all along that man would never reach the standard. I mean, the Word of God tells us that in Isaiah chapter 59, that my hand is not too short that it cannot save, nor my ear too heavy that it cannot hear, but your sin has separated you from your God. So in other words, in falling from the standard, I have been separated from the love of God. So in a nutshell, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift, offered me a way to meet the standard. Through His own sacrifice, He allows me to reach the standard. And as the Word of God says in Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so by falling short of the glory of God, Jesus made a way where we can be reconciled with God and have relationship with Him, therefore participating in the glory of God, which we had lost in sin. Amen. That's it in a nutshell. I can go home. No. Some of y'all said, yes, I'll be done in a minute. Calm down, all right? So we see that we need a Savior. I mean, recognize that. How many of you guys are perfect? Anybody perfect? Everyone. We are imperfect without Christ Jesus. And we recognize that we need a Savior. We need the love of God. And so, why would God want to do that for us? Why would God want to love you that much? Why would He want to give His Son for you? It's a good question, right? I mean, think about it. He has wiped, there's a flood that wiped away, right? He could recreate. But He chose, the Bible says that Jesus was a lamb slain from the very foundations of the world. He chose, even before you were ever a twinkling in your mother's eye, He chose a plan to bring redemption for you. Isn't that amazing? Why would He do that? Well, we have to recognize, first of all, because He loves you. Isn't that crazy? I mean, think about this. For God so loved the church that He gave His only life. Isn't that what it says? For God so loved the church. What? He loves those out there? Those people that we like to complain about? Those people that get on our nerves? Those people that declare days that are crazy? Right? He loves them. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loves you and me. He loved us in our brokenness. He loved us in our pain. He loved us in our past. He loved us when nobody else loved us. He loved us when everyone had given up hope. He loved us when our mothers couldn't even love us. He loved us. And the thing is He loves the world. He loves those who are struggling with their identity. He loves those who are struggling with their gender. He loves those who are struggling with their race. He loves those who are struggling financially. He loves every one of them, and He died for them too. Amen? If we get so caught up in looking at the struggles that the world has, we'll forget that the Bible says that you were once one of them, that we were lost in sin, and One sin is not different than another sin. It all separates you from the love of God. No matter what sin you've done, whether it be backbiting, whether it be hypocrisy, whether it be gossip, whether it be overeating, over those stuff. That was the different notes. I'm sorry. Let me get back to that. But isn't sin sin? And Jesus Christ loved us so much that he was willing to leave the throne room of heaven so that we could experience this relationship of love, this compassion of love that we could, and that's what we had to share. When those are broken on the outside and they're confused with their biology and confused with their purpose, Jesus Christ still loves them and gave himself for them and wants us to be a voice of love to them so that they can experience the same love that somebody showed us when we were broken and undone. God, help us to be a voice of love. Help us to be a voice where people can see the truth of God and not the hypocrisy that so many times the church has been accused of. God's called us to be a voice of reason in a world that's lost in chaos. And we have the truth to give them. Look, it's a resounding echo chamber that they want to say, the church hates you, the church hates you, Christians hate you. But that's because they're convicted of truth. They don't want to hear truth. They don't want to hear that they're loved. They don't want to hear that they're cared about. They don't want to hear that we are here to help them through their brokenness. Yes, we might understand the truth as there's one way to heaven, right? Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way to the Father but by me. We have to understand that the truth is the truth. And those who experience truth find the freedom in Christ Jesus, the deliverance of all of the pain and burdens. You know why this world is so depressed? It's because they don't know Jesus. But when you have Jesus, when you have the peace that passes understanding, the peace that rides out through the storms, knowing that no matter what happens, I am in right relationship with God. It brings about a peace that we can walk in the trials and the pain and know that it's going to be all right. You know, it was such a joy for me to see this morning. Out of all the worshipers in the building, it was a joy for me to see Kathy Lozier. And that pretty smile coming up to this front. And though she has been diagnosed with stage 4 liver cancer, it didn't stop her from coming to the front to worship God. Because there's a peace when you know Jesus that no matter what diagnosis the world gives, that I've got a home in glory. No matter how much time I have here on this earth, I've got something greater. This world is just a temporary passing ground. This world has something temporary to offer me, temporary pleasures, temporary joys. But there's a joy coming that's eternal that can't be taken away. And that's the hope of glory that I know that when this world is passed away, I will walk in the glories of heaven. I will walk on the streets of gold. I will walk in the tabernacle that God has made for me. That's the hope that we have. That's the joy that we have. That's the peace that we have in Christ Jesus. God loved us so much. Goes on in Romans chapter 5, our beginning text in verse 6 through 8 says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Goes on in verse 7, says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You need to look at somebody and say, the Lord loves you. You know, he loves us in spite of us. He loves us in spite of our failures. He loves us in spite of our thought processes that sometimes get us down. He loves us and cares about us and is compassionate towards us. Amen. It goes on to think about that why did he do that? Well, because He's a just God. Why would he send his son? Because he loves us, but he's also a just God. He recognized God made a standard, and he doesn't back off. God's not going to reduce his holiness to appease you. God's not going to reduce his righteousness and holiness and majesty so that you'll be okay. He's not going to dress it down to make you comfortable, because when you come before God, it says that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So therefore, we have to walk in righteousness and holiness to be in the presence of God. And so therefore, God made a standard. We failed from the standard, and God's a just God. So therefore, he made a way to appease the justice that he has. Thank God, right? There's a consequence, right? Sin has a consequence. How many's got kids? How many had to give your kids some consequences, right? Oh, I wasn't supposed to do that. I don't believe in that anymore. But we have consequences. We understand that if we drive too fast and those blue lights get behind us, it's not the police's fault. It's my heavy foot, right? I mean, so just as the law has consequences, sin has consequences, God created consequences, and he's a just God. So therefore, as it was taught this morning in Hebrews chapter 10, that the blood of animals will not appease the consequence of sin. It is only through the sacrifice of the Savior, it's only through a perfect Lamb of God. Because it goes on in Romans chapter 5 later on, it says, through one man in disobedience, sin entered the world, and sin brought death, and sin has spread to everyone, right? I mean, somebody said, well, I'm not a sinner. Well, I mean, the reality is that you were, because the Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned. It didn't say some. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory, have come short of the standard that God has set, the glory of God. And so therefore, we needed the consequences to be taken away, and Jesus Christ became the consequence. He became the sacrifice to match the consequence. Therefore, we have life in Christ Jesus. Amen? Once again, why did he do it? Because of the glory of God. We could not match the glory, but in Christ Jesus, we are in his glory. Listen to this in Romans chapter 5, 1 and 2, as I read in the beginning. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have the access by faith into this grace where we're standing. How many know we're standing in grace right now? Somebody said, I'm glad I woke up in grace this morning, right? Thank you, Jesus, for grace, right? And says, and goes on and says, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we're standing in grace, hoping for the glory of God once again to be restored. And Jesus was the one who brought that restoration. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? Amen. How did he do it? Well, we have to recognize that it was through the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. Now, those of you who are theologians, you can talk about the penal substitute version. You can talk about the ransom theory, or you can talk about all these different, the Christus Victor theory, all these different ideas of atonement. But at the end of the day, every one of them have a piece that is correct, and every one of them require Jesus Christ. In other words, there's no atonement without Jesus. That's why on the back of the sign, when you leave this place, the parking lot, on the back of that sign as you're leaving, it says, everybody needs Jesus, right? Because everybody needs Jesus. Just as much as we say, that person just needs Jesus. Well, guess what? I need Jesus. We all need Jesus. Thank God, right? So, why Jesus? Well, when you look at the atonement, there has to be something. There's two things that have to happen. You have to have a qualified sacrifice. And guess what? There's no humanity that meets that qualification, right? all have went their own way, right? We all have sinned. We've all went our own way. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. That's what the Word of God says. Each into his own way. And so, therefore, there was no perfect sacrifice. The only one was Jesus Christ. When he came to this earth, he was sinless. He followed the law. He obeyed. He, in his obedience, brought about righteousness for us and therefore became the perfect sacrifice. And he was the willing vessel to offer his life so that we could be saved. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 3. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Look to your neighbor and say, and you too. Every one of us, every one of us at some point in our life have followed our own nature. You know what's wrong with the world today? They're following their own nature. They're following their own feelings. It just makes me feel good. They're following their own desires. But Jesus came to offer those who were dead in their trespass and sin, to offer them the power of God to be able to overcome. Because then in verse 4 is the beautiful two words, but God, right? But God, rich in mercy, rich in his mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Amen. Jesus made a way for you to be reconciled to himself. We can go through and look at all these different things. I mean, I would love to read for you all of Isaiah 53, but I'm going to read two verses of it. It says in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Another version might say crush him. He has put him to grief. And then goes on verse 11 and says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Jesus Christ bore your sin. Everything you've done, every failure you have made, every hurt that you have caused, every pain that has been done to you, Jesus Christ bore the iniquity and sins of every single one of us from generation to generation and is still going. That's what the love of God is. That's what the grace of God is. That's a good... I mean, we've been justified by faith. Faith. In other words, Jesus Christ has made a way for us. He's offered a hope for us. This scripture in verse 1, having been justified by faith. So in other words, now we have been justified. The word justified, some would say, just as if I had never sinned, right? I've been made righteous by God himself. I've been declared righteous. And it says, verse 1, it says, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have reconciliation. Think about it. You have the ability to commune with a holy God now. That's the grace that we have been given through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to close in just a few minutes. So, and we're going to have communion to really draw in what we're talking about. It goes on in chapter 5 and talks about, verse 12 and on, talks about how sin came into the world through one man. And it really gives this dichotomy between the first Adam and the second Adam, the gift of God, right? And I want us to realize that verse 12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. Verse 18 says, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in the justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, also by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. You know, we can go back to Isaiah chapter 61, and we can talk about the prophecy of the reason Jesus came. And I love this fact that in that passage of scripture that it says that he is a plant, that we will be a planting of the Lord. Verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 61, it says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Once again, it's for the glory of God, right? If you go all the way back to Isaiah chapter 53, it talks about Jesus being planted of God, being a root of God, a new plant. See, what I want you to understand is that in Christ Jesus, we can say to the old man, this is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 17. He said, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be thou uprooted and cast into the sea. In other words, we can uproot the old life. We can say no more to you. And then we can be a planting of the Lord that the Lord came to bring in us. We are now seed of the righteous King of the Lord, right? And this is what Jesus said. Think about this. John chapter 15. I am the true vine. Come on, right? I got to read it. Jesus said, I'm the true vine. It's not that far back, Paul. It's the problem of using four or five different Bibles. Verse chapter 15, I'm the true vine, and my father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, it says he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. When it says takes away, if you underline that and write lifts up. All right? In other words, every branch that's found in God, God wants to make even more fruitful. And as the vine dresser, he begins to create an atmosphere of growth. When it says that he lifts up, it means to trellis. Some of you guys got your muscadine vines in your backyard. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? You'll put the wires out so that they can stay up off of the ground. And then every year we go through and we find out which of the branches aren't producing, and we trim it so that the rest of the fruitful branches can grow even more. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, right? The key is that if he's the true vine, we have to be found in him. How do we find ourselves in Christ Jesus? By turning our lives over to him, by accepting the gift that he has given us. By belief, see, by grace, you've been saved through faith, that not of yourself, is the gift of God, because he's offered us a gracious gift. So to be in Christ Jesus is a gift that he's offered us. Now, look, if I believe something, it means I'm going to change something in my life because I believe it, right? When The app on my phone, the map app, when I'm driving down the interstate, and it says, traffic alert, or no, it says this, speed check ahead. Yeah. I'm like, Siri, thank you for saving me. No. Because, for a moment, not always, I believe Siri. And I let off the gas. I had a change of behavior because I believed something was ahead that was going to be detrimental to my wallet. If I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, if I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for my sins that I committed, if I believe that his sacrifice covers my sin, and that if I believe in him and trust in him, that I don't want to keep on sinning. Because if you go on in Romans chapter 6, it said, because we have grace, should we keep on sinning? Absolutely not. In other words, if I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, it will change the way I live. Listen, if it hasn't changed the way you live, do you really believe it? If your walk, if you have not determined to walk differently because of what you know Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, do you really believe him? Do you really trust him? Or do we take for granted what Jesus did for us? Do we slap him in the face because, well, I can go do what I want to do because Jesus died for my sins? That's not how it works. John 14. 15, sorry. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, say abides. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, this is where it hurts. Because, see, we've watered it down. Well, I can go do what I want to do. I said this little prayer when I was 3 years old, and I can do what I want to do the rest of my life. The truth is hard. I mean, we can use scripture and say, well, nothing shall separate me from the love of God, and nothing can but you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, but you have a free will and make a choice whether you will walk in Jesus or not. Will you abide in him? It's your choice. If I abide in him, it's not going to be pretty all the time. Because guess what? He's going to prune the things that need to be pruned. He's going to lift up some awkward things in my life so that I can see the Son of God shining in me to change my life. But it says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But if, come on, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done, for my Father is glorified. God wants to once again be glorified in his people. No wonder the word of God says, do all to the glory of God. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe him? It's not just a religion. I was going through my neighbors, inviting them to church yesterday, and one gentleman said, well, My wife goes, I don't go. And he said, I got burned out on religion a long time ago. I said, me too. Oh gosh. I'm about up to here with it. I said, well, I feel like we're probably religious. I mean, we're here, aren't we? And some of us got our Easter stuff on. Well, yeah, you religious. I wore my Easter shirt. But it's not religion that saves you. Religion puts rules on you that burden you. But Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you believe Jesus, it means that there will be a change in how you live. It means it'll be a change in how you make decisions. It will not only change on your Sundays, but it'll change on your Mondays. It'll change the way you operate with your boss man. It'll change the way you operate with your spouse. It'll change the way you operate with your children. It'll change the attitude in which you portray yourself. Now, look, I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. You're going to mess up. You're going to mess up. But if you believe Jesus is who he says he is and did what he said he did, which is historically true, but also spiritually true, are we willing to change our lives to show it? Are we willing to live differently to display that we are his servants? Are we willing to talk differently? I know you're not swinging from the chandeliers and jumping on top of pews. Lyndon, you can tell me thank you later. But the reality is that everybody needs Jesus. And this morning, I pray that if you don't know him as your personal Savior, I'm not talking about knowing about him, because every one of you in here know about Jesus or you wouldn't be here. But some of you have only seen him as the religious figure. Some of you have only seen him as the lucky charm or the stained glass window. But this morning, do you know him as your personal Savior? Is your relationship with you changing your life on a daily basis? Because if he's not changing your life on a daily basis, then I ask you, do you want to know him? Do you want to get to know him? Do you want to experience the freedom that those who walk in him daily have? Do you want to experience the transformative presence and love of God that he gets? Look, I was once bound in sin. Yeah, the preacher, that's me. I once was addicted to marijuana. I once was addicted to cancer sticks, cigarettes. I once was addicted to alcohol. I once was addicted to pornography. But God, rich in mercy, full of love and grace, when I turned my life over to him, he washed me white as snow. What sins were crimson are now made white as snow. I'm no longer the man I used to be. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Do I struggle at times with pride or other things? There's different levels, different devils, right? I don't have a trouble with alcohol and all those things anymore. You know what I have trouble with? Pride. What I have trouble with? Control. I'm still fighting those things. I'm still trusting the Lord every day. Lord, help me. If you say, Pastor, I want to be closer to God. I don't want it just to be a religious thing. I want it to be a righteous thing. Would you raise your hand right now? Yes. 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 I want to know that my heart is right with the Lord, that He's my Savior, that it's not just a Sunday high five, shouting time, but a daily walk with a Savior who loves me and through all of my failures walks with me to renew me every day. That's the grace we have. That's the grace we have. Our ushers are going to come and we're going to serve communion together this morning. But if you raise your hand, would you stand right where you are? I need Jesus. I need His grace. Father, I pray, Lord, every person standing this morning that says, I need and I desire a closer walk with Jesus. I pray that today, God, that we make a choice that we will abide in You. I pray that today we make a choice that we will surrender our lives to You. And Lord, I'm thankful that You give us a grace that is so wonderful, so kind and forgiving and loving and compassionate. But Lord, we also recognize You're a just God, and those who are unwilling to walk in You, Lord, are choosing a path to walk away from You. And today I thank God for those who stand in this room and says, I choose to walk closer to God. I need a better walk. I need a real walk with God. And today I surrender my life. Today I choose to follow the Lord Jesus and make Him the Lord of my life every single day. I'm tired of walking in religion, but Lord, I'm so thankful that You've made a way for me to be reconciled to the Father, that I may have a relationship with the One that loves me and compassionately sent His Son to die on the cross. Thank You, Jesus, for this gracious gift that You've given us. And today, we give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 As you receive a cup, if you would like to stand with us. Good to see all of you here. Some of you are extended family. Some drove all the way from Alabama, man. Good to have you guys with us. So thankful for all of you here being here today. Tyler, I'm glad you brought your sister and grandmother there. Bless you guys. If I didn't get to get your name, I'm so thankful you're here. And I pray that you have found home. We're just a group of people who do our best to live for Jesus every day. If you're looking for a place where we're a bunch of imperfect people, or you found us. We're just trying to put one step in front of the other every single day, trusting the Lord to give us the wisdom to walk in His truth. And you're welcome to be part of that great family. Isn't God gracious? Amen. Amen. We use terms like, He paid a debt I could not pay. We use terms like, He was ransomed for us. We use terms that are hard to say, but like propitiation, He was our propitiation for our sin, which literally means He was the appeasement of the penalty for us. Those are all words that were that we describe the atonement with. But the one key fact that's simplistic for us to understand, which once again Will did such a beautiful job this morning sharing, is that Jesus was willing to be that for us. You give me the thumbs up, everybody been served? What Jesus did for us was a once and for all time. Every generation can experience this. When he said on the cross of Calvary, he said, "It is finished." He declared that the work that needed to be done, the sacrifice that needed to be made, was accomplished. I would love you to go home and break open Isaiah chapter 53 and read it. It won't take you but 5 minutes. Read it all to see what Jesus offers us, to see what he has. The Bible says he was bruised for our iniquity, and by his stripes we are made whole. Jesus came to this earth, allowed his body to be the perfect sacrifice, beaten, broken for our sins. That's what this is. That's what Jesus said. Do this in remembrance. Let's remember today the greatest sacrifice that has been made for us. Would you take that bread? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being bruised and crushed for our iniquities, for being the payment, if you will, for our sins, for forgiving us through that act. Thank you for willingly leaving the throne room, for willingly humbling yourselves as a man as we are, as mankind, to walk this earth, to serve, to give your life, not only to die, but to die a sinner's death in our place. We thank you, Jesus. His blood was shed for us. Would you take that cup? Lord, may we never forget the sacrifice made. And Lord, I thank you that it is through the veil of your flesh, according to Hebrews, that we are now able to enter into the Holy of Holies, that once we were unable, but through our relationship with you and what you have done for us, we now have access to the Holy of Holies. Through your blood sacrifice, we are now made holy and cleansed in the righteousness of God. And though we are declared as such, may we walk in that forgiveness. May we walk in your truth. May we walk in the grace that you've given us. And may we live for you every single day. May you be glorified in all that is said, all that is done. May our lips bring praise and honor to you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I pray that you have a blessed resurrection day, that you enjoy family, that you enjoy friends, but carry this message. Abide in Christ Jesus. God bless you. Amen.